And I want to remind everybody, starting Tuesday, and this is great news, we're going to cover your teams like nobody else can. We will be local and live from 10 in the morning until 7 at night. We start with Keyshawn first thing, 6 to 10 a.m. Then we got Travis and Sliwa from 10 to 1, and they've done a great job in that two-hour show. They're going to be great in a three-hour show. Me and Ireland from 1 to 4, and Sedano and Cap from 4 to 7. Nobody else is doing this for you. We are live and local all day long here on 710 ESPN, starting on Tuesday right after Labor Day. Some suggestions for the Mason and Ireland bingo card they are pouring in here on Twitter. One is, how about John Ireland burping?
Yeah.
John Ireland burping.
Or choking on air. That was a big one.
It was.
Do we have the burp
late in the
first?
Game. It was late in the game.
He claimed, you know, Mace, when you were on vacation, he claimed that that was you.
Oh, that is so ridiculous.
That he was on and you were, that you were the one that burped. Because he's like, listen to it again. There's no way I could burp that fast in the middle of talking. I'm like, yes, you can.
Yeah, he's like, you can't burp and talk at the same time.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Yes, you totally can.
You totally can. And he did it. He absolutely did it.
All right, here it goes.
It was late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he even paused. He paused right before doing that.
It still makes me laugh. Here's the difference between me and John. If I did it, I would own it.
Yeah.
John does it. He denies it. If I had that special moment on the show, I would be calling. I'd say, do you remember that time I burped on the air while I was trying to talk? And then, of course, there's the – does he deny this too, the famous choking moment that happened a couple of weeks ago?
No, it doesn't deny that. He just kind of downplays it like it was no big deal. And I'm like, dude, you really were struggling. Like, we almost had to send someone.
Right. Here it goes.
Are you going to be okay, John? You know?
Here goes.
Right now, caller number 7 wins a pair of those tickets. Excuse me. 877-710-ESPN.
Oh, man. What a company,
Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
He got through the read and everything.
You know, God bless him. There's a lot of talking on this show. It's easy. It's easy to make that mistake. So John Ireland choking, that would be also on the bingo card.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Oh, Puryeska.
Oh, yeah.
Puryeska!
How did we miss
Puryeska!
That?
Come on. We do that a couple of times a day. That would be excellent for the bingo card.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody tweeted me and said, you never read the emails we sent you. Here's the reality. We do have an email address.
Oh, Mace.
It is venicemace@gmail.com. And I'm going to tell you, we get so many emails that I can't possibly keep up with it. I try to read a couple a day, but there are so many emails. It's unbelievable. So things do get buried in the email box. You can still email us.
Yeah.
VenicemaceMace@gmail.com.
You can't email me.
John says Aaron Sorkin disciple. He is an Aaron Sorkin disciple. He does say that an awful lot. So those are some of the things for the Mason and Ireland bingo card. Oh, hang on. Jesse, Pacific Palisades, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man? Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what are you, over at my house? That's connection.
I think we lose Jesse there.
Oh, that should definitely be on the bingo card. Momo's internet sucks.
Spectrum sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I? You have Spectrum for internet, right?
Yeah.
I have Spectrum for internet.
Yeah.
Is everybody else? Oh, how about Mason is on vacation this week?
Yeah, that's good.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, that's a good one. That should probably be on the bingo card. All right, so Cam Newton cut today, and Mac Jones will now be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, and it comes as a big surprise to everybody.
Yeah.
People were expecting Cam Newton to get the starting job in New England. He's got experience. He's got pedigree. He's had success. Didn't have a great year last year, but he also got hurt his shoulder, and that definitely affected the way he was going to play. Now there's not really an open starting job anywhere in the NFL for Cam Newton. So he's got two options. He can either wait until some starting quarterback gets hurt, and then steps into that role, and that's bound to happen, or he could become a backup somewhere. So on Twitter right now, I'm getting tweets that say, hey, Cam Newton should be our backup. Momo, what do you think of the idea?
Nope.
Nope. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. I just, I hate to be this cut and dry about it, but I just, it doesn't help. That would be a huge distraction. Matthew Stafford's the guy. You want to clear the way for him. He's waited his whole life to be on a team this good. I think he's going to seize the opportunity. Who's their backup again?
John Wolford.
Yeah, John Wolford. He was good.
He was good. Won a game for us last year.
I think he's fine.
And McVay was putting him out there in a playoff game. Yeah. Had he not got his bell rung, he would have been the starter for the first playoff game. Jared Goff wound up coming in and winning it. But John Wolford, Sean McVay elected to go to him in a playoff game. If you're willing to go to a guy in a playoff game, he's probably the right guy.
He went to him over Jared Goff. Jared Goff was able to play in that game, and he went to Wolford over him. I mean, he chose to go to him. Now, Jared Goff came in after Wolford got hurt, and he did a good job, but that said a lot. I think you bring Cam in, it's a huge distraction. You know, outside of the vaccination status, which I think is a liability for quarterbacks in this league. This is a crazy stat. This is ESPN stats and info.
Okay.
I can't even believe how lucky I am to get their emails, because they just give me all these.
Yeah, I don't
stats,
even
okay?
get them. So
I'll get you on the list. Okay.
Yeah, good.
Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, and Zach Wilson all enter this season under the age of 26. The last time a division opened a season with four starting quarterbacks 25 or younger was the AFC East in 1985.
Wow.
Dan Marino, Ken O'Brien, Tony Eason, and Art Schlichter.
Art Schlichter.
Yeah, what
from
you said.
From Ohio State.
Sure.
So this
I don't
is the
know if that's true. But
oh, no, Art Schlichter from Ohio State is 100% true.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about rookie quarterbacks. So if I was trying to make the playoffs, if I was in go-for-it mode, if I'm a head coach and I believe my team has everything it takes to make a playoff run, to get to the Super Bowl, I am starting with a veteran quarterback. I'm not going to start with a rookie. And I know Mac Jones has looked great. In Chicago, they're not going to start Justin Fields. They're going to start Andy Dalton instead. Down in Jacksonville, which I think is a rebuilding year, they're going to start Trevor Lawrence, who's looked great in the postseason. But I don't believe that if you are going to be in go-for-it mode, I would not want a rookie starting quarterback. And I know Justin Herbert didn't start. When did Justin Herbert come on last year?
They messed up and
Messed up with Tyrod Taylor. Yeah.
Was that the first week or the second? It was really early.
It was really early. And he went on to have a really good year, but didn't make the playoffs. I would want a veteran quarterback to be my starting quarterback.
The thing
is, I like the easy in mode. I like the, you know, they did this with Jared Goff. Remember, Case Keenum was the quarterback. Jeff Fisher was the head coach at that point. God, these were the sad old days. Jeff Fisher was the head coach. I think he waited seven games with Case Keenum to finally go to Jared Goff. I like the idea of a soft opening as opposed to making a rookie quarterback your franchise quarterback from day one.
Yeah, I like that too. And I think in San Francisco, they've said Trey Lance is going to play in the first game. Now, he has a little finger injury, but he's going to play, but they haven't named a starter yet. But I think they're going to work him into the game, but they're not going to make him the starter, because that's a lot to put on a rookie quarterback. That's just a lot. Justin Fields, you know who their first game is against?
Us.
Aaron Donald and the Rams. I don't want Justin Fields out there against Aaron Donald. No thanks.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton get hit. I mean, come on. Like, you got to set people up for success. And I, you know, they always say when a baseball player gets called up, it's like until they get that first hit, there's just so much pressure on them.
Right.
Get the first hit. Whew, okay, you can just relax and do your thing. It's the same thing in the NFL. Like, when you get in there and until you throw that first touchdown, you complete that first pass, there is so much pressure on you. Do you know how much pressure is on Mac Jones now?
Yeah.
Everybody, he's already been cast as this Tom Brady clone, right? They put the, you know, even on draft day, he was put out there like he was the next Brady. I mean, maybe he will be. Maybe. He looks kind of like him in a way.
He looked really good in the preseason, but, I mean, it's the preseason. He's playing against everybody's B's.
Yeah. And they played their starters, so the Patriots looked really good. Both quarterbacks looked pretty good because they played their starters against everybody else's JV team.
Well, you know, I heard Kellerman say that he thinks all five of the rookie quarterbacks are going to be absolute studs, and I couldn't disagree with him more. You know what? either at least two of these five are going to be total and complete busts. I just think that's the way it goes in the NFL. Quarterback evaluation is probably the trickiest part of any general manager's job, to be able to translate what a guy has done in college to the way he projects for the NFL on Sundays. I just think guys get it wrong on a regular basis. You know, remember, we get all excited about these guys. Remember when Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota went 1-2?
Yeah.
Both flopped.
Yeah.
Both flopped. It's like you just because you're a number one draft pick or a top five draft pick or a top 10 draft pick. I think Mac Jones went number 9, if I'm not mistaken. Just because you're a top does not guarantee success. Everybody gets excited at the idea of a rookie quarterback. But a rookie quarterback on the field is a much, much different scenario. It is a really tough game. It is a really big jump for quarterbacks. And you never know what the emotional makeup of a quarterback is going to be. And here's the thing. I think you can really do damage to a quarterback's emotional makeup by putting him on the field too early. Now, I'm not saying, look, Bill Belichick, it's hard to question Bill Belichick after all his success after over all these years. But in his head, does he think, you know what, we probably don't have it. Maybe we're a 9-8 team. Maybe we're a 10-7 team. By the way, it's going to be tough to get used to those 17-game schedules. Maybe we're 10-7. Maybe we're 9-8. Maybe we're 8-9. So let's throw the rookie out there. Everybody seems to have anointed Mac Jones as the second coming after a couple of good preseason appearances. And granted, he comes from a great program, Alabama. Granted, he is obviously his head coach, Nick Saban, is friends with Bill Belichick, so there's some intel there as well. But I just think there's no guarantee that Mac Jones is going to be a success. And it is, to me, a roll of the dice.
You know, Mace, we come back to your line. Undersell and overdeliver.
Yep.
Mac Jones has been oversold. Let's see if he'll be lucky if he can just deliver, let alone overdeliver.
Yeah, I think I love the fact, you know, I wanted to face Justin Fields as a Rams fan. I was hoping that Chicago would start Justin Fields. Now, Andy Dalton is a serviceable quarterback. He is not a great quarterback, but he's got experience. He's been under the bright lights. He's actually done this before. He did it in Cincinnati for years and years. He is a veteran's veteran. And you can make arguments about his success, which has been middling at best, but he has that big game mentality because he's been there. In the case of Justin Fields, you just don't know until you put him on the field. Now, I think Justin Fields, of the five rookies, I like Justin Fields the best. I think I'm kind of alone on that. I just like Justin Fields. I like his mobility. I think he comes from a great program. And Justin Fields is the guy I would put money on in this field. But I was hoping to face him in game one. Instead, we're going to get a veteran in Andy Dalton.
Look, I think Justin Fields is really good. I think Zach Wilson might be the best of these quarterbacks and set up to succeed the best. But you can't judge a quarterback by this year.
No.
You really can't. Like, we're going to look at this rookie class one way after about 1 week.
Yep.
And then another way after 6 weeks. And then another way at the end of the season. And then probably a completely different way in 2 years or 4 years.
Yep. Well, I remember that Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota both had pretty good rookie
years. Yeah, pretty good.
For bad teams, but pretty good years.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible to get a good year out of a rookie quarterback. And those guys did start their openers. What's weird about them, and I think this is true, I'm pretty sure this is true, is that they both threw pick sixes in their first game.
Wow.
Yeah, both Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. And, of course, after the game, everybody was panicked.
Mm-hmm.
And we will overreact to each one of these.
Overreaction Monday.
They will be the worst thing ever or the best thing ever by the time we get to Monday, September the 13th, when we come back after the NFL opening weekend. But in the meantime, yeah, I mean, look, if you're a Rams fan, I don't care what anybody says. You do not want any part of Cam Newton as your backup quarterback. It's too much drama. As Momo said, there's a I don't know for a fact that he's not vaccinated, but there's been a lot of COVID stuff around him, and that makes him not reliable. And John Wolford is a totally solid backup quarterback. McVay was ready, went to him to start a playoff game. If you've got that level of confidence in a guy, he's obviously your guy. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, phone lines open anytime you want to jump in on any conversation we're having. I want to throw this out, Momo, about the Dodgers. Again, if you're just tuning in, Dodgers win last night, Giants lose last night. We're now within a game and a half of the Giants in the National League West last night. Julio Urias, fantastic in that game. He's baseball's first 15-game winner. But I got a hypothetical question I want to throw at you. And I'll tease it this way. Who is the Dodgers' shortstop of the future?
Oh, boy. Look at you starting things.
Think about this. Who is the Dodgers' shortstop of the future? We will get to that coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Mace, we got to talk about Mookie Betts' mom again, because I'm going to cry.
Oh, yeah. So like, Mookie Betts
literally,
last night.
You just started talking about Jackie McMullen again, and I was just this, like, blubbering, you know, crying mess on the show today.
Yeah, so Jackie McMullen, who is an absolute legend, and has done this for such a long time, has done such an incredible job, has retired from ESPN, and today was an emotional send-off for her, right?
Yeah, it was awesome, though. Like, it was, they gave her, it's on right now if you want to watch, it's on Around the Horn. Yeah, it was good. Every time I thought I was fine, I had this little trick of how not to cry, which I got from my, this was like a, when I got married, I knew I was going to cry all the time. So I just declared things a no-cry zone. Right. I have this trick on how not to cry, which is that you just grab your nose so you can't breathe. Mm-hmm. And then you just focus on grabbing your nose so you can't breathe. And as soon as you do that, it gets you out of your head in terms of crying.
What's wrong with crying?
Well, I mean, the thing about crying is that once you start crying, it's hard to not cry. It's hard to stop crying. And when you're on air, you got to be able to get it out. Right, like, you know, we're supposed to give her a minute-long tribute. Like, if I just blubber my way through the whole thing, I mean, it's not going to be good.
But I think crying is a super healthy thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, my favorite scene is in Broadcast News, and Holly Hunter's character, which is this, she's this, like, really hard-charging career woman.
Yes.
Every day before she goes on air, she goes in the bathroom and forces herself to cry.
Has a good cry.
Has a good cry. And then people come in, they're like, you're okay? And she's like, oh, yeah, I just got to get it all out before I go on air.
Yeah, I mean, there's this always this debate, you know, guys and crying.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I look forward to crying. Like, I look forward to a movie that's going to make me cry. I saw that movie Coda, which I've recommended a couple of times on Apple Plus. I mean, I will say I outright sobbed.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
At the end of that movie. It is so emotional.
I'm waiting to watch that, Maze, until I'm in a mood for that. Because the truth is, like, I mean, I've been having some wild dreams lately.
But it's feel-good cry.
It's a feel-good cry?
It's a feel-good cry.
Yeah, okay. If you say it's feel-good, I'll watch it. I mean, between Afghanistan and all this, I mean, my God, I've just been having, it's just a very emotional time for a lot of people, right? So I just have to make sure I'm in a good place if I'm going to just let it, all the waterworks go. But again, like, just, next time you have to try to stop yourself from crying, try this. It's a good trick. You just grab your nose, like you plug your nose.
Uh-huh.
It works.
So
that's what I did on air.
Jorge just texted. It's a good question.
Yeah. When's the last time you cried? Like cried.
Yeah. When's the last time you cried? And let's not talk. I mean, obviously, you know, death of a relative, all that stuff. Obviously you cried, but on a different occasion, on an odd occasion, that you cried, an odd occasion where it just choked you up. You know, the other thing I meant to mention and I didn't, is that Keyshawn's show is now featuring Max Kellerman. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Nice.
That is a gigantic move for Max Kellerman to be on the station every day with Key and J.
Yeah.
Will. I mean, the morning show, which already does great, is going to get even better starting on Tuesday. So I wanted to throw that out there. So we were talking this morning about Trey Turner, who has been nothing short of spectacular. And defensively, he made a play last night where he went deep in the hole. He was at second base, went deep into the hole, and made a perfect throw to Muncy. He is defensively a game changer. Offensively, on the base paths, he is a state-of-the-art elite shortstop who will be top five, if not top three, for most valuable player in the National League this year. But we right now have got Corey Seager, who is the reigning National League Championship Series MVP. He's the reigning World Series MVP. He demonstrated just how clutchy he can be during last year's postseason. And the Dodgers have a decision to make on Corey Seager at the end of this year. Let's say they don't have Trevor Bauer on the books next year. Let's say they find a way to terminate that contract under all this stuff. And again, that's a hypothetical. I don't know the way that's going to turn out. But let's say money is not really the object, right? Who do you want as your shortstop of the future?
Oh, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, okay?
Yep.
I think I want Trey Turner.
I think it is a slam dunk, Trey Turner.
Man, we are cold. We are cold right now, Mace.
Yeah, warmed up a little last night. I think four home runs last night in the game. But Trey Turner, to me, looks like a difference maker for years and years to come.
The speed, the playmaking ability. I mean, I'm not saying Corey isn't worth it. I mean, he showed the ability to hit at an incredibly high level. He was very clutch in the playoffs, especially in the World Series. But I also think it's a financial issue. Don't you think? I think he wants to break the bank.
I do, too. He's a Scott Boras client.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really good shortstops out there this summer.
Trevor Story, Javi Baez, Carlos Correa, they are all shorts. By the way, I think it's going to depress the market. Anybody's going to get the money that they think they're going to get because there are great shortstops on
the
market.
And also the last couple of guys who've gotten those big money deals, those guys, as good as they are not as good as Tatis. And Tatis is younger, and you feel better about giving him that longer-term deal. And the older guy who got that deal, Francisco Lindor, has been awful.
Yeah, he's been a bust. He's been for at least a year.
See going forward. But I think you're right that there's too many great free agents right now. So I think it'll work against them. Like one will set the market and the others will probably fall short of it. And the question is, will it be Trevor Story who sets the market? Will it be Seager? Will it be Correa? I don't know. Of those three, who do you put at the top?
Javi Baez. Did you include Baez?
I was going to put Baez, but I don't know. I think he's got such a high strikeout rate. I don't think he's in the same category.
He's kind of a 230 hitter who hits a lot of bombs.
Yeah.
That's basically
a lot
who
of strikeouts.
Baez
not
is.
A contact guy like the other guys are.
But I mean, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid, and I think it is going to depress the market. Let me throw one other thing at you. And by the way, 877-710-ESPN. I'm interested in this. Who should get the money? Should Cody Bellinger get the money or should Corey Seager get the money? They're going to ultimately have to pay Bellinger.
Yeah.
Now maybe they say, well, if we have to pay one of those two guys, let's pay Seager.
I actually would try to pay Bellinger now because I don't think you have to break the bank for him after this year.
Oh, you're still going to have to give him a bunch of dough.
Yeah, but not like he did after last, not like after he won the MVP. I mean, he's had a really bad year.
Are you a buyer on Bellinger or a seller on Bellinger?
I'm a buyer on Bellinger. I think he is 1 year removed from a shoulder injury, and those generally take over a year. It's not the next season you're better; it's the following one. So I'm a buyer in his long-term prospects more so. And to me, Corey gets hurt a lot.
Yep, no, it's true.
I mean, so does Cody. They both get hurt a lot. But Corey has gotten hurt more. Plus, the Dodgers have tried to sign him. They've tried to do an extension with him, and he is determined to hit free agency and break the bank. I mean, this is his choice to hit free agency. It's not like they haven't tried.
Is this Cody Bellinger's one bad year?
I could see him going up and down because just the length of his swing, right? The type of hitter he is, he can get into a funk. But I think this right now feels like a bad year. But I would bet a lot of money that he's gonna be a lot better next year when his shoulder's better.
He's 3 years removed from batting .305 with 47 homers and 115 Ooh. RBIs as the National League Most Valuable Player.
What was he last year?
Last year he was .239
okay.
with 12 homers and 30 RBIs. Oh. But in fairness, it was 50 games.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, productive, but didn't hit for average last year. But I wouldn't call that season a wash. This year he got hurt. He's batting .247 with just 9 homers and 32 RBIs. So he's seen a distinct decline. Two questions there. Who is the shortstop of the future for the Dodgers? And by the way, we're within 1.5 games of first place San Francisco after last night. And if you've got to pay one guy, Seager or Bellinger, who do you pay? 877-710-ESPN. Also, we've got Radio Tinder coming up for you in about 15 minutes. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Dodgers last night win. Great news. We're a game and a half behind the Giants in the National League West. Julio Urías was fantastic last night. Took a perfect game into the fifth. I'm always thinking no-hitter, perfect game. Into the fifth is not necessarily deep into a game with a perfect game. But I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it because he looked great last night. He's now baseball's first 15-game hitter. It was Mookie bobblehead night. Mookie's mom threw out the first pitch, and then Mookie hit a home run and blew his mom a kiss, which was really, really cool.
I love Mookie's mom. Can I just keep saying this over and over?
Sure.
I love her. Do you remember the famous story where he's growing up and he's too little for all the Little League teams and no one wants him on their team? And so she just said, like, okay, none of these coaches want to pick him, so I'll coach your team. And then she picked all the other kids that no one wanted, and it was the team, like Mookie Betts was on the team with all the other little kids that no one wanted on Aww. Their team that were too small, and she was the coach.
Why'd she pick all the bad players?
Because she felt bad for him. She said, you know, she watched them, and they were all, like, sad that they didn't get picked to be on the Little League team, and she's like, well, we're going to form our own team.
So she picked all the kids who couldn't play?
Right. The ones who were, like, too little or, like, didn't look like
players. What's the point of that? I mean, God bless her for doing it, but, I mean, what's the point of that? Don't you want to win?
Well, they did. They were good.
They won?
Well, Mookie Betts was on the team. He was good.
Yeah, Mookie Betts made all the difference. There you go. Yeah, no, it was cool last night. It was really cool last night. Let's go to we're talking about who the shortstop of the future for the Dodgers should be, and if you can only pay one guy, Bellinger or Seager, who do you pay? Let's go to Kurt in Newport Beach. Kurt, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So something I think that goes overlooked is the fact that the CBA expires this year. And while Ooh. Right now I think the team is like $50 million over budget, or not over budget, but over the luxury cap.
Over the cap, yeah.
Who knows what that number is next year? So, you know, we know they have the money. They're the evil empire now. So the reality is they could probably keep both. I don't know that I would spend the money on Bellinger myself, but, you know.
If you can only sign, first of all, do you agree Trey Turner is the shortstop of the future?
I would prefer it still Seager and keep Trey at second base myself. That's what I would prefer. I would divest Bellinger if I had to choose one of those three.
Right. Bellinger is the odd man out. Yeah, I agree with you. I just think he's been inconsistent. His swing can be loopy a little bit, and he's obviously struggling this year. He's really scuffling. Kurt, thank you very much for the phone call, man. Appreciate that.
That's a good point about the new CBA, though. Well, like, Trey Turner's under contract for one more year, so and Cody's under contract for a little while longer. They don't have to make those deals yet. So do you want to wait for the new CBA and see if it's more favorable to you?
Yeah, although, here's the thing. you know, and this is a sad reality, and this is advanced warning, and this is for everybody who's a baseball fan, everybody who's a Dodger fan. I think that a work stoppage of some kind,
really?
Strike or lockout, is unavoidable.
Oh, boy.
Do you really think these guys agree on anything?
No. You're right. They couldn't even agree last year on the 60-game schedule and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, and I hope it's not true. I hope baseball doesn't shoot itself in the foot again. But we've had more strikes and lockouts in baseball than we have in any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
We've had more work stoppages. And it's because the players' union is so strong. And the players' union will stand up to the owners and say no. And I'm not sure that it has an effect on how much the Dodgers are willing to spend. You know, I think one of the things that baseball is going to look at is a salary floor, right?
Right.
Every team's got to spend, this is what the players want. Everybody's got to spend $100 million, or everybody's got to spend $75 million on payroll. That's one of the things the players are looking for. The owners, are actually going to look at lowering the luxury tax threshold. They want to incentivize teams to play within that $75 million and whatever that
yep.
number is. I don't think they want a high number as the luxury tax threshold. Or I think they do want a high number as the luxury tax threshold.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're got to do both. There's you and me are relatively sane. Usually, depends on what we've...
You and I could cut a deal.
Yeah, like tomorrow I could do it. Tomorrow I could be like, okay, here's what needs to happen. You need to change the service time so that you can get paid earlier in your career. So it's
yes.
not 7 years. We need to like end that maybe three or four years before a guy can sign a new deal. But then you make the maximum length of deals 6 years. 6 years is the maximum length. It's not open-ended, endless 13-14-year deals.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous, okay? You have a maximum salary, and it's based the same way it is in the NBA off of a certain percentage of the salary cap. Okay, so it's not that hard.
Yeah, we're getting wonky.
It's not that hard.
Yeah,
they can just totally fix it.
We're in the weeds. Yeah, you can totally fix it. I hope they avoid it.
Let's do it after the show.
Yeah, you and I will have a conversation after the show.
I'll call you on my drive home. We'll hash it out.
Richard in the OC. Richard, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you, guys. Great show. I wanted to mention, I don't think we should pay Bellinger because, first of all, he can't hit lefties. You know, this guy's a 185 below hitter, has a high strikeout ratio. His MVP season was a little misleading because, you know, he was blasting the first 3.5 months. Then the last 2.5 months, he really dipped. And, you know, Seager's a 285-plus hitter. He hit big time for us last playoffs. And we don't want Bellinger at the plate with runners in first and second. You know, we're cringing our teeth. We're praying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have Seager up at the plate. And if we lose Seager and Bellinger, then pay Scherzer a 2-year extension. And we got to keep Turner because we're losing the dynamic of speed and base stealing in the league. And Turner brings the full package.
Yeah, those are all really good points. Thank you very much for the call. Tackle that a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, Turner does give you that dynamic of speed that, frankly, other teams have taken advantage of with the Lakers, Dodgers. The Padres stole a bunch of bases against us. The Marlins stole a bunch of bases against us. The Dodgers have allowed more stolen bases than any other team in big league baseball. To add that dynamic, that dimension to the Dodgers, I think is critical. Now, you could move Seager over to third base, play Trey Turner at short. You could play Trey Turner at second and Seager at short. I think if it comes to me and I've got to choose two of the three, I'm taking Turner and Seager, and Bellinger is the odd man out.
Ooh. Wow.
Hey.
Wow. Hey. I mean... I get it because his MVP year in light of his other years does look like the outlier.
It does look like the outlier, yeah.
That's a hard two words to say together. Outlier year. That's a hard – okay. Had a hard time with that. I think his MVP year looks like the outlier when you stack up season after season after season. But I just – if you know Cody Bellinger and you know the way he's built, you know, his mental game, his makeup – I also think defensive versatility is really important with him. I mean, this dude is amazing.
He's an amazing defender. That is fair. He's great in center. He's great
in
right.
Did you see that catch the other night? Over his shoulder on the run, that jump. Like, wow, that was awesome. Then he's a gold glover at first base and in center field. That's how good that dude is.
He is batting 189 in his career in the postseason.
Ah, that's a good point.
189 in the postseason, and he's really looked bad at times. Like last year's World Series.
Long loopy swing.
Last year's World Series, 3-for-22.
Yeah,
Last year's national champion or National League Championship Series, he was 5-of-25.
Yeah, and when you the more you face him, the more you know what to do. He's got a loopy swing. That long swing, and Corey, I think, can have the same type, you know, of issues, but Corey knows how to shorten up.
Right.
And I think that's what's made Corey a much better postseason hitter.
And you know what? Coming through in the clutch is a habit.
It's a big deal.
It's a habit. You do it a couple of times, and all of a sudden you get this level of belief.
Yeah.
That I am the guy that can do this. I am comfortable in this position. I have done this before. Yep. I have been an MVP. He's been the MVP in the National League Championship Series and in the World Series. That's something that's rare, but I think it becomes a habit. And once you do it, you're able to repeat that. It's repeatable.
It's like Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo, that's exactly. Yep. By the way, Rajon Rondo is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Make sure you stay here for that, about 20 minutes from right now.
How long will it be?
I don't know. I don't know. I recorded a little bit earlier. We will find out. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Wins has a bunch of stuff to throw at us, and also her Instagram handle. That's coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, God. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and do it, Lindsay. Promote your Instagram
page. Being a new Instagram page.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lindsay.
It's been on her Instagram page for a while.
It'll never stop being a new Instagram page because it's always got new stuff on there. Ding. So you can follow me at Lindsay Baseball.
Yep.
All right, guys. So the NFL announced new agreements with sportsbooks FoxBet, BetMGM, PointsBet, and WinBet yesterday for the 2021 season.
Yes.
NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dungy quickly expressed his displeasure with the new partnerships. Dungy lashed out at ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter, who tweeted, "Sign of the times, NFL has reached agreements with all the sports books I just mentioned, right?" Well, Dungy replied to Schefter's tweet saying, "I really don't like seeing this, Adam. When I came into the league, the NFL had a stance against gambling. Now it seems like we've accepted it. I realize it's legal now, but we've all seen the damage gambling can do to lives. I don't think we should be promoting it." Well, even though the NFL gambling marriage is not going anywhere, do you agree with Tony Dungy? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. You know, I'm sure he's yearning for the days of leather helmets and traveling by train. This is 2021. And right now, Alabama, Arkansas, Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, down the line. I don't know where we are in California, why we haven't elected it, but sports gambling is legal. And it is something that we have all been doing. We've been doing it with fantasy football for years and years and years. I don't believe that there is going to be any damage to the league. He says the damage that has been done. Now, he's talking about
people who gamble. I think he's probably talking about,
he's talking about people who gamble. But I, you know, I'm a libertarian on this. You know, if you want to be a sports bettor, you be a sports bettor. And you know, if you think you can win, you think you can win. If you lose money, you lose money. I mean, it's legal. It's happening. It's happening at casinos. It's happening at sports books. It's happening across the country. Tony Dungy is yearning for days gone by because sports gambling is here to stay.
You know what? I think it's funny that Tony went after Adam Schefter. Like, Adam Schefter is the one who brought sports gambling to the NFL.
He's the guy that's responsible.
It's like, okay, he's just reporting on it. I understand people who don't like gambling being this intertwined with football and with basketball. Frankly, I don't like it.
Really?
I understand the transparency angle, but being on the inside of the information game, I don't want gamblers coming after me. Like, I don't want that. That is not my job.
What do you mean coming after you?
Like, there is so much information that is already very difficult to get out, okay? Like, we don't just wait for someone to call us to find out if somebody's ankle is sprained or what the MRI says. There's already so much pressure on getting that stuff right and making sure. Like, I've learned over the years not to – I just don't report as deeply on injuries because they change so often.
Yes.
Like, I one time – I literally was, it was a, I'm not going to say who it was, okay, but there was a player who was, he was out. I was doing a Sports Center hit at, I guess it was 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock our time. So it was right before the game. And I called the team and I said, what's this guy's status? And they said, well, he's going to warm up. And if he feels good, he's going to play. Okay. So I said, well, when is he warming up? And they said, right now. I go, how does he look? He said, he looks good. He just came over to me and said, I feel good and I'm going to play. So I said, okay, cool. I'm going to go on Sports Center and say that. Went on SportsCenter and said that. 10 minutes later, after he came off the court, they decided to scratch the player because he started feeling dizzy and didn't feel good, and so he decided not to play. And I'm like, you know, this is what happens with information like that. But when it, like, when you're wrong, you just, you know, you say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I was right at the time, but it changed. Imagine now how much money is on that. And if my reporting is now tied into gambling very directly. It always is indirectly, but when it's tied together, I don't like it.
Well, you know, you're a resource. You've become a resource.
Right. Well, how
gamblers.
Many people in the Cavs locker room knew LeBron was playing with a broken hand during the finals that year?
It's true.
And that information, if you got a guy,
could be
you got
exploited?
A trainer, yeah, absolutely could be exploited. And I just don't. They always tell us in journalism.
But we've had offshore books for a long time. We've
but
had
it's
Vegas
it's not directly
for a long
linked.
Time.
It's not directly linked. And you always want to avoid not only conflicts of interest, but the appearance of conflicts of interest. And I think we're wading into dangerous territory when it comes to gambling. Sorry.
Yeah, I personally love sports betting.
Yep.
I always have a little bit on the line. I like to have a little bit on the line. Obviously, we've promoted it. We have Steve Fezzik on during football season. He gives out his best bet every week. Doug Kazarian does a show on ESPN based on sports gambling. I mean,
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's coming. It's here. Yep. And by the way, where's California on it? I haven't even heard a bill introduced to the legislature on this. We should be on this right now.
You know, California's gambling laws suck because you can't even play craps in California because there's literally a law that says you cannot bet on the outcome of a game where you throw dice.
No.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's literally a law from like however many hundreds of years ago. That's still a law. And you can't even play craps in California. You can only play party craps where you basically have to roll dice to then come up with cards and use the cards to act, you know, to correspond with numbers on the dice. It's very confusing and stupid, but you can't play craps in California, not even on the reservations. It's dumb.
Yeah, well, I think that fantasy football all sent us down this road, and DraftKings sent us down this road. I mean, I play in a DraftKings league every week with Kellerman and Raj and Marcellus and all those guys. So, we've been trained now that we all need to have a little action on the game, whether it's fantasy football or a DraftKings league or whatever it happens to be. And I think the only thing you can do now is to regulate it. And the NBA is going to have to, you know, they're going to have to put up, you know, you're not allowed to gamble in baseball. You know what? They're going to put that sign up at NBA locker rooms. This is the cardinal sin, gambling on the NBA. And I don't think, aside from some point shaving scandals and Pete Rose, it's not really been an issue. It hasn't been damaging to the sport, and it's much safer, by the way, than going to a bookie, an illegal bookie, which a lot of people have been doing. So I think legitimizing it, legalizing it is the right thing, and Tony needs to jump onto the future because the train is leaving the station.
Mace, I think that's a good point about, you know, something that everybody saw as like taboo at some point or whatever the case is, because it could, like Ramona said, it could lead down to a dark path. Well, there's plenty of vices in this world. Gambling is one of them. Alcohol is one of them. Smoking is one of them. Watching TV is one of them. Eating, you know, there's a lot of things that you could do that are going to hurt yourself, hurt other
donuts,
people.
Right. Popeye's spicy chicken sandwiches.
Exactly. That are legal, that you just need to make sure that they're regulated properly. And I think it kind of goes in the same realm as like marijuana and different drugs. Yep. Regulate them and make sure people don't abuse it.
Hey, the state, the government runs a lottery system.
I mean, that's literally gambling.
Any convenience store you walk into, you can put down a couple of bucks and gamble. Gambling is part of our life. It is part of our culture, and it has been for a long time, and now it's expanding into sports, and I think it's generally a good thing. All right, Linz, what's next?
All right, so a woman said that she reluctantly entered into an open relationship with her husband, but now she's considering leaving him because she's fallen in love with another man. So this anonymous woman said she felt very secure with her husband and that life was good. So she was shocked when he suggested they become polyamorous. She did end up meeting another man when she agreed to doing this with her husband, and she soon grew feelings for him that were stronger than for her husband. And now the new man asked her to be monogamous with him. Mm. So apparently this woman is now considering leaving her husband because she said she's never felt these feelings before, and her husband was the one who initially wanted the open relationship.
Backfired because she fell in love with another guy.
Right. If she leaves her husband, is she doing anything wrong? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right. If your love is love, I mean, if you fall in love, yeah. The husband invited this. He invited this opportunity to have an open relationship. And, you know, I have friends who have open relationships, mm-hmm. a couple. And you know what? There's always that danger when you start going with somebody else, sleeping with somebody else, the odds are eventually you're going to find somebody that you've got chemistry with. So it's dangerous playing with fire like that. But yeah, I mean, love is love. If she's fallen in love with somebody else, if she's fallen out of love with her husband, it's a shame her husband suggested the open relationship. But these are the ramifications.
Look, can I make a joke here? I shouldn't, right? I definitely shouldn't.
Try it. Try it. Jorge's
make
got his
joke.
Finger on
it's
the
okay.
dump button.
No,
go ahead.
I think I won't.
You know what Jorge says? When in doubt, leave it out.
That's right.
When in doubt, leave it out. Look, he opened the door, and I was going to make a swinging door reference. No, but I was like, nope. I'm not going to do
hey!
It. I was going to, but I was going to, I decided against it. There was a joke in there. Look, it's his idea. Like it was his, this is what happens. And I don't fundamentally believe that, every person is meant to have monogamous relationships. I think that there are, I don't know if I believe in the idea of a soulmate. I think we make choices about who we love. And I think that you fall in love and then that lasts for a while. And I think you can change and you can either grow together. You can grow apart. You can also meet somebody and have a completely different experience and decide that's what you want. So people grow and change and evolve. I think I'm more of a monogamous person. But okay.
Well,
I
that's good
even,
news.
I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it right there. I just think things change over time. I mean, who knows what happens in
yeah. See,
five
I do
years,
believe in the
years.
Idea of a soulmate.
Yeah.
I absolutely.
I think
do.
That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah. No, I believe in a soulmate. I believe I've met my soulmate.
Oh, good. That's good.
Lindsay, you think it's a bunch of crap?
Yeah. I don't think that humans are meant to be monogamous. And like Ramona said, you make choices and you make sacrifices and you do things because that's what society has taught us to do, and that's what the society we've evolved into is. You get married and you have kids and you live quote unquote happily ever after. Well, guess what? Most of the time, and I think the divorce rate in the country would be an indicator of this, things don't really work out that way because, like Ramona said, people grow apart. Some people grow together, but I think a lot of times people grow apart because I for one am not the same person now that I was 25 whatever 20 years ago when I met the guy that I was with for 20 years. We are completely different people. And I hope that I'm not the same person 20 years from now. And so when you grow up and you grow old, you change and you like different things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Look, I was a kid, I thought there was no way I would ever like coffee. And then I thought there was no way I would ever like beer. And now I really like both of them. So you don't know what you like until you
there
try
you
it.
So yeah, but I mean,
it's good.
Lindsay,
I think it's a good safe analogy that I just made there.
That is so jaded and cynical.
I think that's a bunch of crap.
Okay, growing up, we would all like to think our friends are so special and all of our relationships are so special, but they are mostly the product of proximity and coincidence.
Yep.
They're mostly based off of which high school you went to, which college you went to.
Right.
What year you went to
that
school.
But that doesn't mean you're not meeting your soulmate, that you're in the right place at the right time to meet the right person.
All right, you really think that you met your soulmate who just happened to live in the same place as you at the right place at the right time. There's that one show.
Well,
I told
Mace,
you, about
you
on
do
Netflix.
Have a really good argument for your soulmate there because you met Juan overseas, right?
No, I did not.
Did I have the story wrong?
Yeah, you got that story wrong. I did not meet him overseas.
Oh, okay.
But no, I believe Juan is my soulmate. I do believe in soulmate. By the way, throw that out there. That's really interesting. So, Lindsay, you think people are just not meant to be monogamous? People change.
In general,
people
grow
out of
not.
Each other. See, I believe people grow together. I think people change and grow together.
But you have to work at that. You have to
work. It's a lot of work.
Let's cut Radio Tinder one question early because we're up against a break.
Let me ask you a question, though, in regards to the soulmate thing.
Yeah.
Like I told you about this show on Netflix, I don't know, a year ago or something, called The One. Where in this show, there's this hypothetical where these people came up with, you know, it's fiction, that's the word. They came up with what they say is an algorithm where you put in all your, enter all this data about yourself, answer all these questions, hypothetically, you can find your quote-unquote soulmate. Because everybody on Earth has one soulmate.
Yes.
You, being in the relationship that you're in right now, would you take the test?
No.
Knowing it's going to match
you with
your actual
soulmate. I know what I know. My heart is my heart.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
The answer is
my question. That's an interesting question. Do you believe in soulmates, or do you believe what Lindsay believes, that people are just not meant to be monogamous?
I think that's a bunch of crap.
Miss Sunshine. All right, 877-710-ESPN. We'll throw that out there. Plus, Rajon Rondo is going to join us coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.